Welcome to The Gut Connection with Brian Jerby, MD, where we discuss the connection that gastrointestinal health has with all of health. We review the latest research and interview the greatest minds in this rapidly advancing field of gut health and integrative functional medicine. Please keep in mind that this podcast is provided for educational purposes only and should not be considered a substitute for care from a licensed medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that this does not constitute medical advice or other medical services. If you would like more information about Dr. Jerby and the type of medical care that he provides, please visit drjerby.com. That's drjerby.com. Now, let's get to this episode of The Gut Connection. Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Gut Connection. I'm Brian Jerby, your host, and I'm so glad that you're with us here today. I really, really hope that this podcast is beneficial to you for in helping you for your quest for optimal health. We do functional medicine, Legacy Health, and as you know, functional medicine seeks to address both common and uncommon health conditions from a root cause standpoint. And today is definitely no exception to this rule, because we're going to talk about the microbiome in urologic disorders or bladder problems, in other words. The reason that I think this is important is because I see so many people who have super messed up guts, and it shows up in their bladder as well as the overall urologic function, kidneys, ureters, urethra, etc. And so we're going to explore that whole business today, because there's tons of research out there, no big surprise, about how the microbiome affects urologic disorders such as recurrent urinary tract infections, interstitial cystitis, urinary incontinence, overactive bladder, etc., etc. So let's jump right into it. And just so you know, when I went through medical school, we were taught that the bladder was sterile, and therefore urine was sterile unless there was a urinary tract infection. However, now we know that there are normal microbial populations in the urinary system. And this was discovered probably less than 10 years ago. So you can imagine that this has sparked a lot of research done in this area, and increasing amounts even as we speak. And there are more and more studies that are being conducted to try to uncover or elucidate the relationship between the urinary microbiome and urinary health and disease. And as you might imagine, if there is a microbiome in the bladder, then an imbalance in the microbiome in the bladder can occur. And if that occurs, it can cause urologic dysfunction. Surprise, surprise, right? And of course, the largest concentration of our microbiome is found in our GI tract. And as you know, the GI tract is linked to everything. And therefore, there is a gut-bladder axis. So in other words, if the gut microbiome is messed up, then it can also affect the microbiome of your bladder. So it's not surprising to any of our listeners out there to find that there is a difference in the urinary microbiome between that of men and that of women, given that the anatomy, for one thing, is quite different, obviously. In healthy women, for instance, Lactobacillus, Gardnerella, and Streptococcus are the most prevalent genera in the bladder microbiome. However, in healthy male bladders, there is an abundance of Enterococcus, Proteus, and Klebsiella. Completely different. It has been shown that Lactobacillus low levels of lactobacillus, or maybe you might want to call it lactobacillus insufficiency, in women promotes colonization of pathogens or bad bacteria in the bladder and promotes an imbalance or dysbiosis of the bladder microbiome. And this can lead to urologic conditions, as noted before. Functional disorders of the urogenital tract frequently occur along with irritable bowel syndrome, indicating that, you know, there's a shared cause there. And of course, the intestinal or the gut microbiome can either directly or indirectly influence functional urologic diseases such as overactive bladder, interstitial cystitis, bladder pain syndrome, urinary incontinence, urge urinary incontinence, and so on. And of course, it has a big role in recurrent urinary tract infections as well. And it might be interesting for you to know that research has been done comparing the microbiome patterns of patients with acute, uncomplicated bladder infections and then recurrent bladder infections. And it was shown that the recurrent bladder infection, known as recurrent cystitis, the microbiome was significantly more diverse than those in the uncomplicated bladder infection group. So in the acute uncomplicated cystitis or bladder infection group, the study showed the presence of Pseudomonas, Acinetobacter, and Enterobacteriaceae, just to, you know, throw some big biologic words at you. On the other hand, in the recurrent bladder infection group, there was the presence of Pseudomonas, Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, and Rothia species. So what does that mean in English? What it means is that different imbalances or different even overgrowths or presence of different potential pathogens could determine, you know, what kind of urologic problem a person is having. And you might imagine in acute urinary tract infections, there may be a single pathogenic organism, whereas with recurrent cystitis or recurrent, you know, bladder infection, urinary tract infection, it's more like a dysbiosis or an imbalance of numerous different bacterial species. For a lot of patients, a lot of my patients, since they have recurrent urinary tract infections, they come in on antibiotics, you know, trying to keep that organism, that single organism, from coming back. But in doing that, studies show that those treated with these prophylactic antibiotics had a significant increased number of pathogenic species and decreased microbial diversity compared with the healthy control group. And then, you know, of course, that means that the use of antibiotics for preventing urinary tract infections needs to be looked at very closely. It needs to be very limited or even eliminated from the practice of physicians, because this can lead to super resistant organisms and additional levels of dysbiosis. And it looks like there is more and more evidence to suggest that if you have a single species identified in, you know, recurrent urinary tract infections, I've got a patient that I'm thinking about right now, there's probably actually additional species of bacteria in the bladder that are not being detected by the lab, because the lab assumes that once they find one organism, then that is the one that's causing the problem, and maybe lesser species, aren't evaluated further. And the other thing that we think about, of course, in this situation are biofilms. So, you know, organisms may be hiding out in the biofilms, and that could be keeping them from getting detected on a standard urine culture. Studies show that these bacteria, there's more than one, okay, they can kind of work together. They kind of are co-conspirators in this bladder problem. They have a synergistic effect. And, you know, that's called a polymicrobial infection. And in when there's a number of different bacteria that are working together for one evil purpose, it shows how they can cooperate through a mechanism called quorum sensing. But anyway, not to get off on too much technical jargon. If they're all working together, then they can make the disease or the urologic condition even worse. So the take-home message, if you have any of these kind of things, have any of these urinary tract infection associated diseases, that they might not be entirely attributable to a single pathogenic organism. Okay. Think of other organisms that aren't being detected by the lab, or think of biofilms. In the healthy female bladder, there are commensal organisms, or, you know, beneficial organisms, mainly lactobacillus species. And the number of lactobacilli in the bladder of female patients with recurrent urinary tract infections is significantly lower than that in healthy women. Of course, age and your estrogen level, all that can play into it because everything's connected, right? But again, numerous bacterial types need to be evaluated, including E. coli, of course, but also Klebsiella, Pseudomonas, and others. Now, how about the effect of the gut microbiota in the gut-bladder axis? That's a big deal, of course. In this case, women with recurrent urinary tract infections have been studied, and the studies show significantly decreased gut microbial diversity. No big surprise, since a lot of these women have been treated repeatedly with antibiotics. And of course, that messes up your microbial diversity in your gut. And the studies show relative abundance of organisms such as Bacteroides, and lower abundance of the phyla called Firmicutes, that includes Lactobacillus and others. And overall, there seems to be a low abundance of bacteria types that are linked to the generation of short chain fatty acids such as butyrate. And, you know, this is a good reason to get your gut microbiome looked at, not only the microbiome, but, you know, the metabolic products of the microbiome of your gut, because it could really be influencing your bladder health. And, you know, it may be no big surprise that there are some studies out there that are being done to investigate the utility of fecal microbial transplantation for the treatment of chronic recurrent urinary tract infections. In addition, the health of the vaginal microbiota is very important, and studies are showing that intravaginal probiotic treatment with specific organisms can reduce the frequency of urinary tract infections. So that's important data to consider. Now, when it comes to interstitial cystitis, now this is a topic that I'm sure many of you out there are very interested in hearing about. This is definitely a perplexing urological condition characterized by bladder pain, frequent urination, urgent urination, And all of this in the absence of a typical, you know, urinary tract infection. Again, it's probably no big surprise to our listeners that studies are showing that there's a substantial correlation between urinary microbiota and interstitial cystitis. Studies suggest that people with IC, or interstitial cystitis, were less likely to have lactobacillus species in the urine, and therefore lactobacillus supplementation has been shown in some studies to decrease interstitial cystitis symptom scores. When you consider that changes in fecal metabolites like short-chain fatty acids can occur as a result of imbalances in the gut bacteria, then it might not be a big surprise to you that urinary metabolites can also become disrupted from changes in the urinary microbiome. And of course, the urinary metabolites affect the health of the lining of the bladder and the lining of the urethra, et cetera. Again, it's kind of like these podcasts are kind of like a broken record, if you know what I'm talking about. If you're, you know, my age, you know what a broken record sounds like. It just keeps skipping and doing the same thing over and over again. Some of you younger people might not know what a broken record sounds like. But anyway, you know, I'm saying the same thing over and over again on these podcasts, which is everything has a microbiome. We didn't used to think that. But now we know everything has a microbiome. And if the microbiome is messed up, then the overall function of that organ or organ system is disturbed to one extent or another. And if the microbiome of the gut is messed up, it can affect the function of just about everything else in the body, including your bladder. And so whether it's an overactive bladder, urinary incontinence, kidney stones, whatever it is, the microbiome of the bladder and the gut definitely is playing a role. Always remember that. Now, I'm a big proponent of probiotics for the prevention of and treatment of urinary problems because it makes sense from the root cause standpoint and from the research standpoint that there are more and more studies that support this approach. So when it comes to female urinary tract disorders, we definitely want to increase lactobacillus because this species functions by, well, it does a number of different things, but it acidifies the mucosal surface of the bladder and urologic structures, thereby preventing these other organisms, pathogens, from adhering to the lining and starting an infection. And it generates substances including vitamins and immunomodulators, and it engages the host's immune system in the bladder. Lactobacillus species have a significant inhibitory impact on E. coli as well. And of course, that's one of the main organisms involved in recurrent urinary tract infections. Lactobacilli also help modulate the bladder cells in the production of type 1 interferon, which, you know, not to get too technical, but that's involved in the immune system of the bladder. And it helps create a microenvironment that protects from infection overall. So getting those organisms into the bladder is definitely part of our treatment approach here at Legacy Health. We also target the bladder by administering oral and vaginal probiotics, you know, targeted. So we definitely consider these probiotics a viable alternative to antibiotics. And of course, this is backed up by research. And this is true whether it be in adults or children. So just remember that. I wish I would have known this when my daughter, who is now, how old is she? 25 or 26, had unexplained fevers, and they were looking all over the place for it. And it was most likely in her urinary tract infection, they weren't able to really nail it down. So that's just a little rabbit trail there. But I wish I would have known it back then, you know, 25 years ago or however long it was, because then I would have acted accordingly. And now that we know it, we can move forward with other people that have the same problem. And of course, if worse comes to worse, fecal microbiota transplantation, or FMT, can be used in some cases to restore the gut microbiome and decrease colonization of antibiotic-resistant pathogenic organisms that show up in the bladder. Now, I know that for most of our listeners out there, this research data is no big surprise. We go back to the mantra that all disease begins in the gut. And then we can branch out from there that all disease outside the gut is somehow influenced by the gut itself. And then we can add to that the fact that everything has a microbiome. And if the microbiome, the skin or the mouth or the vagina or the bladder or whatever, you know, whatever structure it is, if the microbiome gets messed up, then the function is disturbed to one degree or another, and it places people at higher risk for developing conditions in those areas. So if you have chronically recurring urinary tract infections, interstitial cystitis, or anything like that, make sure you find a licensed practitioner who is well-versed in investigating and treating the microbiome. This will go a long way in preventing further problems and taking care of the problem that you currently have. So that's the kind of stuff we do. So if you need help, do not hesitate to reach out to us, give us a call, sign up for a free phone consultation with me on our website, drgerby.com. And as always, thank you so much for being here with us on the Gut Connection. That is it for another episode. Best wishes to everyone, and God bless you all. Bye-bye. And that ends this episode of the Gut Connection. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you back for our next episode, where we'll discuss more gut-related topics and interview leaders in this rapidly advancing field. If you would like more information, please visit us at drgerby.com. That's drgerby.com. Until next time, take care and may God bless you.